The British Broadcasting Corporation presents London Forum, a weekly program in which we bring prominent personalities to the microphone to discuss important topics of the day. In this week's London Forum, speakers in Australia and London are joined together by Radio Link to discuss a subject of general interest. The program is introduced by Edgar Lustgarten, author and broadcaster.
This is Edgar Lustgarten introducing today's London Forum. And believe me, it's a very exciting one to introduce. In these discussions, we've often had speakers from the Commonwealth, and we've greatly valued and enjoyed their contributions. But up till now, that's only happened when they've been in Britain and they could join us round the table in our London studio. Today, it's different. Thanks to some technical marvel, which I shan't try to describe because I don't understand it, thanks to this technical marvel, three of us here in London are linked with two eminent Australians in Sydney, so that we can not only hear each other, but we can speak to each other too, rather as if five people were all plugged in to one long-distance call. And despite the thousands of miles which stretch between us, we hope to be able to talk over together a question of mutual interest, a question of general interest, the question whether socialism has now come to stay. Now, just let me tell you who everybody is. I'll start on the Australian side, and then we can make sure that the technical marvel is behaving as it should. Senator McCallum, are you hearing me all right?
Quite well, thank you.
Oh, that's good. Now, we know, of course, that you're a Liberal, but party labels don't always correspond in different countries, so perhaps, McCallum, you'll tell us in terms of left and right, where do the Australian Liberals stand?
The Australian Liberals are definitely opposed to socialism, and to that extent, I suppose, you could equate them with your Conservatives. But as a Liberal, I object very much to being called a Tory. I'm a Liberal of the Asquithian and Lloyd George vintage, you see.
Yes.
A genuine Liberal.
Well, we'll leave the word Tory right out of this discussion. Now, with McCallum in Sydney is the Labour economist, Dr. Lloyd Ross. The Australian Labour movement, I suppose that does correspond broadly to the British Labour movement, Ross, doesn't it?
Yes, it was considerably influenced in the early days by British writers and British businesses. It's a socialist movement, I think. Perhaps not as clearly defined in its socialism as British Labour, but we'd be quite prepared to say that we are of the left.
Yes. Well, now the London end. Sitting beside me here is, first of all, Michael Foote, Labour Member of Parliament and a leading left-wing journalist. Foote, I imagine you're going to argue socialism is here to stay.
Well, certainly, I think that, in fact, the main real argument in the world is between democratic socialism and and communism. And I think that democratic socialism is the real bulwark against communism. And in that sense, I'm quite sure that democratic socialism is the most vital creed in the world.
Well, there you are then. But my other London colleague, Quentin Hogg, who until the death of his father was a notable Conservative Member of Parliament, he's now succeeded to the title of Lord Hailsham, he, I'm sure, is going to take the opposite view. Hogg, is that right?
Yes, it certainly is right, because I do think it's most extraordinary that now that every socialist thinker on this side of the Iron Curtain is running away from all the fundamental tenets of socialism, they should go on saying that socialism has come to stay. It's run away from itself before it ever came into existence.
Well, I think it's right to observe at this point that everybody's made their positions admirably clear in the first 3 or 4 minutes. Now let's get down to brass tacks. In a democracy, anyhow, whether socialism stays or not depends on how the people vote. We've lately had elections, both in Australia and Britain, and we surely ought to be able to learn something from those. McCallum, what do you say about the position in Australia in view of the election, the last result?
The last bit of an election was a decisive defeat for socialism. The Labour Party has had a socialist objective for many years, but the first genuine attempt to change Australia from a free economy to an elitist one was made by Mr. Chifley when he nationalised the banks. Now, that aroused a feeling of alarm and anger. And although when the election came, the law was a dead letter because of decisions of the High Court and the Privy Council, the people nevertheless overthrew the socialist government. Now, I'm in a position to say that the issue was fought on socialism and nothing else. In every election, there are side issues. But our leader, the Prime Minister, Mr. Menzies, warned us at a convention of candidates to avoid side issues like the plague, to fight on socialism, to make no promises, and to say that our chief concern was to restore private enterprise.
Well, now, I'm sorry, yes, go on.
No, that...
That finishes that, does it, McCallum? Well, before we take up the question of the British election at this side, I think we might have the other Australian point of view from Ross.
Labour lost the elections, I think, because socialism was misrepresented. It lost it also, I think, because the educational programme of Labour lagged behind the decision to nationalise banking. But the political loss doesn't really stop the movement towards socialism. It's not true to say that Labour is running away from socialism, but I think it's true that the Conservatives are running still very rapidly towards socialism in Australia.
Yes. Yes, I follow that. Now, does that really complete the Australian side of this picture about the election? Because if so, I'd like to come just to the London end for a minute to talk about the British election, and perhaps we can join hands again afterwards.
Yes.
I think perhaps, Hogg, you might tell us what you think of the last British election and how far that gives us any guide or any picture to the movement towards the right or left.
Well, of course, the result of the British election was less clear-cut than in the case of Australia. And the result is that opinions, I think, are freer to differ as to what it means. I want to give my own personal opinion, and that was this. I think it was a slap in the face to socialism, much more so than a slap in the face to the Labour Party. The Labour Party tried to fight the election on a half-hearted socialist programme, and it failed to get the mandate for which it asked. It lost the marginal vote, at least it did, I think, in my own constituency, which I fought. On the other hand, it held the organized male factory vote, on which the Conservatives failed to make any real impression at all. I should sum up the result by two propositions. The first is that the Labour Party remains fairly popular, but that socialism is hated like poison. And the second is that the people really wanted the result, which in fact happened. It left the Labour Party to administer the reforms of the last 5 years, and it forbade them to initiate anything further.
Now, Michael Foote.
Well, first of all, I think there's a glaring lack of logic in what Hogg has said, because he says, first of all, that the Labour Party fought the last election on a half-hearted socialist programme, and then he says that the setback for the Labour Party was a slap in the face for socialism itself. And I don't think that those two statements can really be reconciled. But I think the most important fact about the last election here in Britain was the way in which the Labour Party did, in fact, hold its position. It got more votes than any party has ever secured in a British election before. And it did that after four or five years when the government in power, the Labour Party, had to face the most prodigious difficulties. All the shortages and hardships which were left by the war were exploited by the Conservatives at the election. A series of bribes were offered to the electorate by the Conservative Party. But despite all those appeals, the Labour Party held its vote very strongly. And I think that there's rarely been an example in history where a government 4 or 5 years after a major war has succeeded in holding its position as successfully as the Labour Party did.
Well, now, Ross, did you notice that when Quentin Hogg was talking, he referred to the decisive defeat for socialism, using socialism in its strict sense? Do you agree with that?
Oh, no, I think that it's always rather presumptuous of the Conservatives to start defining socialism for the socialists. The Conservative, having accepted so many of the socialist ideas, calls the rest of the business half-hearted. Isn't a real problem to decide whether a process towards socialism is a part of a process, or it's to be dismissed as being, not quite the stage that the Conservatives have reached at the moment.
Hogg seems to want to say something further on that point.
Well, I don't know why it should be held presumptuous, Ross, for a Conservative to try and define the position of his opponent. We're always having our own position defined for us by socialists, you know, and I don't see why we shouldn't turn the tables occasionally. What do you think?
Oh, well, I mean, if it's just turning the tables, all right, but if it's a definition, no.
But why should we be forbidden to define the position of our opponents? We don't object when people try to define ours. We're sometimes rather amused when they get it wrong.
Well, it's not at all surprising that the Conservatives are quite happy that we should try and define their policy, because it's quite clear that they haven't got one of their own, and we have to spend a large part of our time in this country trying to discover exactly what that policy is.
That's why, although we lost the elections, socialism achieved a victory.
Well, now, McCallum, I remember I'm bearing carefully in mind that you would not be called a Tory willingly, and I'm not going to let Quentin Hogg speak for you. What do you say about this question?
Oh, I think socialism can be defined quite clearly. It simply means collective ownership of capital goods and of all the means of making and marketing goods. And if you are going to encourage private enterprise, as we are doing, if you are going to prefer private enterprise to state enterprise, then clearly you're opposing and attempting to defeat socialism. And that is what the people of this election wanted, and that is what the present Liberal Party is doing.
Michael Foote.
Well, I wouldn't accept that the definition of socialism is merely the collective ownership of all the means of production and exchange, because I don't believe that is the case. I think that socialism involves, of course, very much more state control and state intervention and state enterprise than conservatives or liberals are prepared to accept. But it doesn't necessarily mean that everything is controlled and owned by the state. But I think that the great event that has happened in the world in the past 10 years, both in Australia, New Zealand, and in this country when we've had Labour governments in power, is that we have succeeded in killing one of the oldest and most favourite arguments against socialism, which was always employed, and that was this. It was always said that however fine the ideals of the socialists, however wise and imaginative their plans for and just their plans for a better and fairer sharing of the national wealth, that the introduction of socialist measures would interfere with the actual production of that wealth. But in fact, here in Britain, we have shown that in the past 5 or 6 years, that despite the increasing state control, in fact, production has been enormously increased.
Well, you know, one of the things that always happens, I find, in any discussion in which the word socialism is introduced, is that the discussion presently turns into one on its merits, and we are, in fact, discussing whether it's here to stay, good or bad, aren't we?
Well, this surely is relevant to the question of whether it's here to stay, because, of course, it's necessary not only to share more fairly the wealth that we have, but to produce more.
Yes, well, now, I think we'll turn back to the Sydney end for a moment, because what I would like to hear the Sydney view upon is this. We have gradually got on to a discussion about whether the parties have shifted their ground. Of course, if we have parties moving either to the right or the left, the labels don't mean anything anymore. Ross, do you think that the parties, in your country at any rate, do you think the parties are shifting their ground towards the left?
Yes, I certainly do. I think the difference between liberals and socialists in Australia is that we move 2 steps towards socialism, and then the liberals just move only 1 bit, leaving the advance still a most important one.
Well, now, Hogg, what do you think of the situation here?
Well, both Foote and I think Ross are issuing an elaborate smokescreen to cover a strategic retreat. Of course, the traditional definition of socialism is exactly what McCallum says. It is the public ownership of the means of production, distribution, and exchange. Now, no socialist on this side of the Iron Curtain believes that anymore. They know perfectly well that their leaders pronounced it 25 years ago, but they don't believe it anymore. They have moved back to private enterprise. Well, and this reluctance, if you'll forgive me for saying so, to allow Tories to define socialism for you is precisely because you can no longer define it for yourselves. Now, you have run away from the original definition.
I think somebody's got to come in from Sydney.
There's one little word that we've been throwing up and then forgetting, because I think that's the difference between us on this definition of socialism, and that's the word all. Whether the socialist does or ever has argued that all the means of producing wealth should be owned by the community. I don't think the socialist ever had that view. And once you accept the possibility of a process and of the word all being modified by some, then your conservative does become pretty close to seeing a socialist.
What do you think of that, Foote?
Well, I think it's very strange that Hogg should accuse us of running away and of strategic retreats from the rest, because one of the main attacks that is being made upon the Labour Party here in Britain is that, in fact, we are going ahead with our programme. For instance, the nationalisation of iron and steel, and nothing causes more ire amongst the Tories than the fact we are sticking to that programme. But I quite agree with Ross. I think that many Tories and Liberals have advanced in the last 50 or 100 years, and one definition you might make of a Tory is a person who's always prepared to accept every reform except the next one. There are quite a number of Tories here in Britain who are now prepared to accept the Reform Act of 1832, which they weren't in favour of it at the time.
I call a Tory a post-dated socialist.